Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. As always, we are here yet again with another topic for you to keep you company while you focus on the road, eyes on the road.
As always, guys.
Yeah, as always.
Keep it there, keep it there.
Yeah, fasten a seatbelt and don't drink and drive. And we all know that's only for alcohol, water is fine. Yeah, water is fine. But not everything that looks like water is water, was last time I checked. Vodka is more crystal clear than water.
Oh, no, there's an even more potent thing.
That is more clear.
Yeah. Oh, it no. was a, there's a guy I know. We all know a guy. Everyone knows.
I know a guy who knows a guy.
Who knows a guy.
Knows a guy.
Now this guy.
Born in the right family.
This guy used to work in the brewing process, not mentioning names of the companies.
Otherwise, invoice would be coming right up.
Yeah. However, he was in the quality control department.
Yeah.
So they would test the concentrates and the mixtures and everything, which obviously should tell everyone else that this is purely, you know, it's a commercial entity it's a commercial process or entity that relies on a scientific and engineering process, né?
Yeah.
And, well, obviously highlighting back then, even under the prohibition days in the US, you know, everyone was bootlegging left, right, and center. No one had engineering, no any chemistry.
As long as I'm getting wasted.
Exactly.
Hand it over.
As long as you can supply where the demand is secretly popping up. However.
Jeez.
Now, he had the tendency, this guy. He's still alive, don't worry. He had the tendency of taking some of the pure alcoholic extract home. But it's not 100%.
Yeah, because that would be
dangerous. That would have been deadly, yeah. So he takes some of that. He had the opportunity, sometimes took some of that alcoholic extract. He could take it home. And then, because the thing looks like water, the other friends...
Of course, there's always one
asked day. For water. He said, no, just go to the fridge. But because the water and the substance are stored in the same kind of containers, you know, those Tupperware water bottles.
Uh-huh. that's worse.
So you go for the water bottle that looks like a water bottle. And as you open up and you pour yourself or you take a swig of whatever's inside, you'd have, you know, Christmas surprises because you weren't looking for.
Yeah, there's no way this is water.
You were not looking for losing half the sensation in your tongue or your mouth. So, yeah. So, knowing a guy that knows a guy, that's...
Helps you get to the...
to the holy water, yes.
Yeah, holy water.
Yeah.
Let's call it that.
Yeah. I know, we started off on a completely different tangent.
Like, because, now I even want to go on a wild run. But I think we didn't start off that far from today's discussion, and that is commercial activities, more like business relationship that obviously start from diplomatic relationships, and this is based on the Commonwealth Business Summit, and I talked about it partly in the morning, albeit that was not very, that was more cooking than.
Are you sure it was not frying?
Let's go with that. Look, it's just a genuine question that I asked. That if this common, if this wealth, is that common? Is as common as they say? Why am I broke? But yeah. So now this the first ever Commonwealth Business Summit to take place outside the Commonwealth, outside the Commonwealth capital, that is London. It's taking place. It's ending tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's
but
ending.
Tomorrow is not open. I don't know if it's partially open for us, the media, because yesterday and today we almost had like the limited but full access to the discussions because most of it was obviously streamed and available digitally for us to see. The thing is just how much when you try and look at this particular discussion, it. Borders onto the South-South talk that you and I had 2 weeks back.
Yeah.
Because in the South-South discussion, remember, the South-South is a formally structured sub-branch of the UN or a agency of the UN, because Guterres, the UN Secretary General, was tasked by the same General Assembly of the developing nations to ask them, listen, how good does it look to act for South-South cooperation actually to, or what's the feasibility? What's the viability? Is this something that can work if we trade between each other? And he literally came back. Remember I sat with his report here, because they based the whole South-South cooperation engagement on his report, which told them literally, you know what, guys? If you leverage the economic strengths and expertise of the BRICS nations, wherever you find yourself, and that has been the thing that you and I have also highlighted a lot to our listeners.
Yeah.
Look at most of the developing regions of the world. South America has got Brazil and what's the country's name? Chile. Let's put them together, because Chile and Argentina Chile, Argentina and Uruguay and Paraguay, they play like support roles, you know, like backup singers to Brazil. I'm sorry for using the Destiny's Child reference continuously, but you always have that one strong economy in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
And everyone else literally
is more peripheral.
Not peripheral, because when you use peripheral, you're like putting it way out there to say highly detached.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case. Remember our Brazil-Namibia discussion of last year, where Brazil represents Mercosur.
Yeah.
And
Mercosur, like South American version of the EU.
Yes. No, of SADC. Of SADC, yeah. And Mercosur has their viewpoint is predominantly trade related. So they are looking at enhancing trade, connecting trade between unexplored territories in terms of trading with each other. And that's ultimately what the Brazilians want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And remember when I told you the Brazilians were the guys that sold that weird chicken that people complained about in the 2010s about, why does this chicken, if you read on the back of it, this chicken is a product of Brazil. Okay. And the chicken comes through South Africa into the SACU region.
Yeah.
Or into the SACU trading block. Because obviously Brazil's viewpoint was connect with the largest of the economies. If you connect with South Africa,
you have access to the Namibian market.
You have access to everyone. Now, it's one of the reasons why
throw in Namibia, Botswana,
Lesotho, and Eswatini. Zambia and Zimbabwe become extensions of this particular discussion if you obviously look where you find South African commercial interests, right?
Yeah.
And you can only talk about trade, Helmut, if you know that there is clear bilateral relationships between countries, between nations. You can't go and talk to... Who's there? You can't go and talk to Taiwan as Namibia, ne?
Mm-hmm.
If China is one of your largest development partners from an Asian context, how are you going to go talk to Taiwan for trade? Because China will ask you, hey, what mir stand ge?
Yeah.
What are you busy with? Was magst du?
Oh, Hong Kong.
No, but Hong Kong is now formally part of. So Hong Kong no longer has that autonomy that they used to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
The same too also for Macau. Macau is now formally integrated into mainland China.
Yeah.
So you can't approach Taiwan in the sense of saying, you know what? We are peace loving and we recognize your sovereignty.
Hey!
Just using that word.
Boy, are you flying out of that like really fast.
Just using that word, sovereignty. You can forget about everything else.
Yeah.
You can literally forget about it. Or it's like Namibia deciding now to recognize unofficially the sovereignty of Chechnya. Are you smoking something?
I have a better one for you. Actually, Ethiopia tried that. Ethiopia was that last year when they wanted to strike, an access to the Red Sea deal with Somaliland.
Hey,
Somalian government was like, "What the heck are you doing?"
Yes, you were talking about that thing, and we pointed out the positives. Somaliland is way more peaceful,
mm-hmm.
and had been peaceful since the civil war in the 80s.
Yeah.
And it was the Greater Somalia that had the large instability. You know, Al-Shabaab's emergence, the Islamic influences from Al-Qaeda and the Taliban in that neighborhood specifically, because Somalia is literally just a hop. You can literally see Yemen.
Yep.
And Yemen is just a hop, skip, and a jump away, and then you can see Iraq and Iran.
Yep.
And obviously, identifying that, Pakistan is...
Very hot region.
Pakistan is just a boat ride away. No, not Pakistan. Yeah, Pakistan is a boat ride away. And through Pakistan, which also has a local Taliban in, yeah, Pakistan has a local Taliban. There's a Pakistani Taliban and there's an Afghan Taliban. And if you can see the interlinkages, then you understand ultimately how Islamic jihadism could spread all the way down into Mozambique in Cabo Delgado. Because, Helmut, you can just get on a donkey and you can literally walk from Somalia all the way into northern Mozambique. You're walking through three countries.
Assuming you survive that walk.
Kenya. No, you will. Obviously, the only surviving you have to do is when you have to cross that mountain range where Kilimanjaro is.
Okay.
The one that splits Tanzania and, because Kilimanjaro is the natural border of Tanzania
and Kenya.
So if you can walk over Kilimanjaro, yeah, all good with your donkey, then you are literally in what's the thing's name? Cabo Delgado.
Also, you have to understand that Kenya and Tanzania host some of, if not two of the biggest national parks, Maramara and Serengeti. So you and your donkey will be like snack. You know, just
yeah, for some of the Simba. Simba lineages and clans that are obviously operating there.
I was going to go with lions, but it's Simba, really?
Hey, man, it's what Disney calls. So we will just Simba everything here.
They'll be singing Away My Way Behind. All right, you know what? Commonwealth.
Yeah, Helmut,
these are supposed to be about Commonwealth.
Exactly. But you know what we're actually pointing out there?
Yeah.
The geography of the tourism as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know we also highlighted a different particular discussion, obviously, of the bilateral relations. But Namibia does have most bilateral relations with predominantly most of the African members of the Commonwealth. Remember, there's Mozambique, there's Tanzania, there's Kenya, there's Egypt, there's, who's the other guy? Nigeria. There's obviously other guys of SADC. And one of the disappointing things that popped up again, and this is from, let me get that speaker's name, the guy from Afrexim. We're sorry, guys, that we're literally breaking this.
Those are the guys that, those are the guys whose credit ratings was downgraded. Someone, it was like last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and remember, they are owned. Remember when I came back and told you who owns this?
The AU.
It's the AU that owns this bank. And I thought, because I couldn't understand, why is this bank, this entity, being dragged to every AU, AFCTA, AFCFTA, and trade ministers' engagements across the continent, just to realize this bank's, mission is to empower cross-border trade between African countries, ne? As opposed to the African Development Bank that's there to help you with development projects, meaning large infrastructure projects, large transport projects, you know, just that ultimately helps to scale up the ability of your nation to have the necessary installations in place for things to happen in your economy. Afrexim Bank, is there ultimately to promote cross-border trade. Now, here's the thing, Helmut, if we position this particular discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I will still get back to why I mentioned the Afrexim Bank guy at the start of the talk. And that is in relation to aviation, once again, which brings us back to connecting the skies of Africa to each other.
Yeah.
He noted specifically, and they keep mentioning this, they can help you with identifying various markets or market segments within an economy for your business to ultimately target. So if you're from Namibia, what can you target in Ghana, for example? You know? But that obviously means now that you've got to work through your government, meaning your Ministry of Trade, which will now be Minister of International Relations and Trade,
yeah,
to connect to them and vice versa. Ultimately, to have that synergy between authorities, government agencies, and ministries in two countries that have bilateral relations with each other on the continent. The downside is, Helmut, the commercial banks, the South African commercial banks, can do the same thing. Do you know why I say that? The blue bank, I bank there, the blue one.
Yeah.
Of South Africa.
Yep. The one that was impersonated by one of the callers that called my, one of my favorite ministers. I know that bank.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Who said he sounded very professional.
Very professional.
Very professional.
Yeah.
Superbly professional.
No, my question was, can't believe we trust you with our guns.
So, That one bank now is known as Africa's largest bank.
Really?
It's Africa's largest bank, meaning it has the largest footprint. It is footprint means obviously coverage.
Yeah.
And it operates outside of South Africa and Namibia under a different name. It also operates in the Middle East. It also operates in South America. But it's the same bank. It's the same company.
Different names?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
They've got a, because of the British bank, Standard and Chartered.
Yeah.
They have to use the name Stanbic in those other economies, other markets that you find the British bank, Standard and Chartered,
mm-hmm,
placed there. For anyone that knows about Standard and Chartered, they were a long time, they were the Liverpool sponsors, shirt sponsors, the bank, that bank.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, you don't want, you know, someone is obviously, there's some sort of a copyright discussion. Once again, bringing us back to our copyright talk, mm-hmm, how you as a business entity have to know about the nuances in language and ultimately who are the other competitors in that zone that you want to enter into. For example, people that love using the name Namibia in their company's name. If you go there and sometimes your company's trading name shows up as Nam something. Nah. If you get into that other country, let's for example say it's in Nigeria, you will undoubtedly, Helmut, you will find a company that will probably have the same particular shortened name or same particular sounding name in terms of its pronunciation, but how it's written is completely different.
Yeah.
So, and those are the nuances that people also don't think about. The way I was trained, Helmut, when I got my marketing diploma from Polytechnic before it became NUST, one of my lecturers told me, the most important commercial entities in the private sector to trust is supposed to be your advertising agencies. They're supposed to have the latest demographic information, the latest labor force surveys. They're supposed to do this whole market analysis and market intelligence for prospective customers. Now, obviously, that has changed. You've got knowledge-based workers, mm-hmm, meaning you and I, we can qualify as knowledge-based workers because we review enough policies, you and I.
Oh.
We review enough academic intelligentsia.
And believe me, they are not boring.
And we,
as we showed yesterday.
And we review enough market, analysis about Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
Enough. The only data we don't have access to, right, is detailed trading data, not the surface level trading data that NSA gives us.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning tell us, yeah, China is your biggest trader. This is your biggest trader. This is the biggest product.
Because
you don't understand ultimately what are the different products? What is the price per item, per unit in those product lines? And
you have to go in that detail.
Yes. Because how do you understand how much do we have to industrialize if we just say we sell this much to China? But you and I, we know,
mm-hmm,
and our listeners know that it's predominantly the uranium that we're, yeah, selling to China.
So we're just saying we sell this much. Okay. Our biggest trading partner is this, is this country,
yeah,
with this amount in quantity.
Yeah.
But as to, you're not sharing information as to what product that you're selling? No. You know, what product you are, that you're trading with that particular country?
They do highlight in the NSA reports, Helmut, they do highlight potentially what sector the product comes from.
Yeah.
So they flip the response from what is the product to what sectors does the product come out of?
Mostly extractive.
And when you see mining is the biggest performer, once again, in your trade statistics as a country, then you know, obviously, that this is once again the uranium discussions. Case in point, once again. You know, I love laughing. And because I actually answered that person before we stepped in after the Okundana team, you know, with Bernadette and Patemo, ultimately, when they were still on air. Mm-hmm. So I saw another seasoned journalist's WhatsApp status. And she highlighted, let me read it to you, Hamo, because it is so poignant in terms of that. I've got to read it, actually. Now, she highlighted in her status that look out for the something to do with diamonds. Her question was, how will the structural shift in the global diamond market impact our revenue over the next 2 to 3 financial years? And my response to her was straightforward. No one cares, because you can't own a diamond as you found it. You can't eat it. You can't sell it as you want. It is completely useless, which is a thing that you and I have also proven multiple times on this show. There's nothing you and I can do about a diamond, Helmut.
Well, if you know a guy who knows a guy, you can sell it.
But it would be unlawful. That's the thing. You can quickly try and fence it off, sell it off, right?
Yeah.
The question is, that poor guy now has to carry a hot potato.
Uh-huh.
What's the hot potato going to mean? Yes, he's going to walk through a scanner at Osia Kutako, who's going to scan. Yeah, it's going to be a deep scan. Don't
well,
worry.
Well, there are a lot of options. You can swallow it.
It's a deep scan.
Or the exit.
It's
okay,
deep,
that came out wrong.
It's still a deep scan, Helmut. That's the reason why you have to walk through the scanners at airports. Because they know people want to take chances. They know it. You can be clenching it.
Isn't it amazing the things that we do? I mean, as, you know, as adults, sometimes you there are only, these are something silly things that you'd, you know, expect from some kindergarten kids that are just goofing around.
Yeah, swallowing 5 cents and random stones and sand.
Yeah,
no.
You have a fully grown man with a tummy full of cocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah, capsules, and you're going, okay.
What can go wrong?
Yeah.
With hydrochloric acid in your stomach. Busy digesting that, those small plastic packets.
Yeah, it's
filled with cocaine.
You know, well, you're given these capsules and you're told, well, you have to get the, you know, we have done the math. Your scientists are telling you we have done the math. And by the time that, you know, looking at how long your flight will take, I think by the time that you get there, you know, the digestive system have not destroyed the, you know, the layer that is, you know, the layer that's protecting you from this, 5 kg. Of a crack sipping in your bloodstream.
5 kgs.
And then you hop on a plane, then you
5 kgs, Hamut.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever seen a 5 kgs of sugar?
Yeah, that's big.
It's,
and I've also seen people with big tummies, but the point is, that was very wrong.
No, Helmut, no.
Yeah, that didn't come up. Okay, come on, where was I?
Yeah, so...
So I will so need bodyguards after this.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So the ideal here is, it's about the integration of trade, right?
Yeah.
For those of you listeners that have seen our posters, these ministers, these trade ministers are speaking about integration. But the integration seems to... they try to ramp things up. Because here's the thing, Helmut. We don't trade as much, for example, with Pacific Island nations. We don't trade potentially as much with, let's say, Australia or New Zealand, who are also considered, you know, I don't want to use the word first world economies, but let's say I can't also call them developed economies because they do have an advance.
That's what I thought they were.
But if you understand, Helmut, that they also have marginalized people,
yeah.
the Aborigines.
Yeah.
And the Aborigines are considered, like in our case, the sun groups here in Southern Africa.
Yeah.
They're considered also like prehistoric humans, or that they've got unique, distinct cultures and the likes. that ultimately means that not everyone is on the same level field.
Economically, yeah.
Yeah, in Australia. So the same too for the Maori in New Zealand.
New Zealand, yeah.
Have I told you about the scandal of how New Zealand came about after the wars, the Maori British wars?
There's not a lot I've come to realize. There's not a lot I know about New Zealand. I do remember the Kamate though. That one was everywhere.
Do you at least remember the member of parliament that tore up a bill last year?
Kamate.
Yeah, that lady. Yeah. Now, do you know why she tore up the bill? So the bill that she tore up, the piece of paper,
yeah,
her copy, not the exact draft, her copy. Why she tore it up was the foundational document, which serves as a pre-advancing document for the Constitution of New Zealand.
Yeah.
Because if you remember, New Zealand's head of state is the King of England.
Yeah.
The same too for Australia.
For Australia.
And for Canada. That document was a treaty signed in the 1800s between the British and the Maori.
And that is the one that was... different versions.
Yeah. That's the one that I explained to you has different versions. The one that was written for the Maori says, which were the terms of the negotiations, the European British white settlers have to request for permission from the local Maori tribe heads and chieftains when they want to settle on land or access land for various activities.
Yeah.
The English one that the British set up.
Yeah.
Ne? Literally said, we have the right to settle when we want. And I'm just summarizing this so that people understand it. Now that also obviously gives you a scenario that New Zealand is not ultimately as developed as we think. We got an ad break, guys.
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge as we invest in time on our network, enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage for the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply. Always
prepare, Paratus. No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Past the hour of 5. So, one-sided deals, it's not actually, that's not even a contract. It's a good thing they protested by basically tearing it to bloody bits.
No, but just to end on that point, Albert,
yeah,
why she tore it up is that that New Zealand Prime Minister, the guy that's now in power, wants to reinterpret the document that's in New Zealand. So he wishes to qualify that all New Zealanders, whether you're Maori or white or Fijian or Samoan or Tongan, you are all equal, which is an understandable basis because it speaks about human rights.
All men are created equal. Where have I heard that before?
The downside is obviously, the true realization in reality does not reflect ultimately the... what do they call it? The philosophic position.
You have two things. One on paper, but the practical reality is wildly different from what you have on paper.
Yeah, because the Maoris are still the most incarcerated ethnic group in New Zealand.
Boy, did my jaw stay in place. It did not drop at all.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Now, for those of us that did not know what the Commonwealth is. Commonwealth is the Commonwealth nations, or also called the British Commonwealth, is simply is an international association of 56 member states, and the vast majority of which are former territories of the British Empire, hence the Commonwealth. You know, a British Commonwealth, sometimes that, you know, that the Commonwealth is known for. Now, the gathering that is taking place, and it's ending by their official dates from their website, indicates that the event ends tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Now, and this is where, you know, this is basically where a group of trade ministers came together, you know, from all the 56, 50 plus states, mm-hmm. to talk about how can we, you know, how can we work together? How can we work together? I know we have a very, we started off on the wrong foot, you know, with where the capital of this organization is seated, but now we have you know, we are playing a role, and we are 50 plus strong. Mm. Now we have numbers, obviously, to our advantage. So that means wherever you have obviously you know, numbers, you have also, that translates into consumers. But you know, business foundation in terms of transport and the, you know, transport and water trade and everything must be laid. Now this is a this is where you see, you know, the trade ministers coming together, and you know, and of course our international relations and trade minister, that is Selma Mousavi, was there. Mm. Yeah, and well, that was, believe me, a lot of all protocol observed, and a massive round of of applause. I'm like, really? Did he just have to say massive all the time? But well. I just laughed and, you know, went into, you know, into the discussions that was taking place there. And obviously this covered a lot of things, including technological advancement, and also how we as members of the Commonwealth cannot only exploit the numbers that we have, but also exploit technology and use it to our advantage, not only into conducting better trades with each other, but also, you know, two birds with one stone, also in the, you know, in the fight against the, you know, climate change. Now struck me was Africa is has just about the same number of states.
Yeah. But here's where things get tricky. I check now. I think Egypt is not there. Just to be on the sure side of things. Because I said earlier that Egypt is there. And I don't see an Egypt.
I don't see North Africa.
Yeah, much of North Africa, whole of North Africa,
The whole of North Africa.
And this predominantly, there are two or three French-speaking ones there, Gambia, Gabon, and Cameroon. Is Angola even here?
No.
Angola is also not here, but Mozambique is here.
Yeah.
It makes it tricky, Hamut, to,
Zimbabwe is not there.
Well, we all know who actually brought on the sanctions against Zimbabwe.
Yep.
The same guys who organized the Commonwealth discussion, which is obviously the UK. So in their own scenario, obviously you can see how problematic that is. Now, what works in the Commonwealth's favor, Hamoud, is that you've got, like I said, you've got the UK, you've got South Africa, you've got India, you've got Australia and New Zealand, that's five. You've got Canada, six. Very, let's also add Singapore in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's add Singapore also in there. These seven nations present and can provide an avenue for integrated trade between all the continents where these countries find themselves.
Yeah.
The two problematic scenarios is, because you've always got to look at geography and transport connectivity. You can connect Namibia and South Africa, Botswana and Zambia, even Kenya. You can connect them directly to the UK, It's one time zone. Even Nigeria.
Yeah.
It's one time zone. It becomes problematic to try and connect the same African countries to Canada. It becomes problematic to...
You're talking about a land that's literally across the ocean.
Yeah. It becomes problematic to connect the same African countries to Australia, New Zealand.
Yep.
But it's very easy also for the same African countries to be connected to India, because that's a lot closer.
Yeah.
It's a lot closer to Kenya. India and South Africa have long-lasting, healthy, entrenched, deep bilateral relations.
And so is India and...
And Kenya also.
India and Uganda, and that one is a little touchy.
Yeah, but that's more... That discussion is actually a three-party one.
Mm-hmm.
It's India and in the UK on the one side and Uganda on the other side. That's the touchy aspect, because the Ugandans, remember, didn't tell the Indians, take the Indians. They told the British, take the Ugandan Indians.
Yeah.
And those people are still unhappy, Hamoud, in the UK. There's demos in the UK.
Yeah.
They are still unhappy. They didn't want to go back to India. They were repatriated back to the UK. And there's a plethora of stories that come out from there in terms of how they said they actually feel a little bit betrayed, because they believed in this independence of Uganda.
Yeah.
With obviously the said particular madman that took over. You remember the movie that was made about him, The Last King of Scotland? I thought that was a lie, because most movies usually embellish things. No, it wasn't. Homeboy wanted his own personal Scottish friend. Now, I was trying my best not to make that sound as you know, racially induced as possible. That, hence, I went for the nationality situation. Don't worry, guys. You can color in the between the spaces. I'm not going to define that. So,
month end is really close.
it's still a week and a half away. So,
just trying to have faith here.
Yeah. Hey, actually, your favorite demographic is going to get paid again tomorrow.
I already congratulated him this morning.
guys, sorry for bringing you guys up. So, in that detail, Helmut, you can see Africa and Southeast Asia and South Asia we can improve on the trade relations, because Africa and China is right next to India. It's the neighbor of India. So traffic anyway, trade volumes anyway go in that direction. It's just about maximizing those trade volumes. The problem here is, how do you try to access the Canadian market? And how do you try to access the Australia, New Zealand and Pacific Ocean and Pacific Island nation markets?
That's a lot of shipping.
It's a lot of shipping. It opens up avenues.
Yeah.
Because obviously there are islands between Madagascar leading you to Australia. It's just in between there's a whole bunch of secretive military bases of the UK and the US.
Yeah, the French.
And the French.
Yeah.
There's still one there of the French. So it's not like your airplane can go and land there for a toilet stop. No.
And some of them are filled with uncontacted natives. Yep. Sentinelese Island. Land on that island.
No, but that's closer to India. That island is outside of India.
Yeah. It's actually under the Indian jurisdiction. You are most likely going to run into the Indian Navy before you get around 4 kilometers anywhere near that island. Yeah.
And the reasons why the Indian Navy and the Indian Coast Guard patrol specifically is because they want to ensure that they call it contamination. That's the best word to use.
Yeah.
Contamination can also be exposing through foods, the kinds of diseases that we are used to. Those people are not used to.
Yeah, they're not immune to it.
They're not immune to it because they are still considered prehistoric humans, because they are so underdeveloped as well. Just looking at the skull structure and everything.
Oh, yeah. They're basically living where we were, I don't know how many years ago.
500,000 years ago.
Yeah, just go there.
Yeah.
Because, they are, you can look from the, their weapon of choice in terms of defense every time anyone tries to contact them. They have spears. Mm. And boy, are they precise.
Helmut, an arrow is this long.
Yep.
If they've got a meter arrow, they've got a long bow.
Yeah.
To try and hit you in the water on your boat.
So.
Yeah. So, if we look at the integration discussion, the geography becomes an issue.
This whole discussion of geography becoming an issue, like you just pointed out, I mean, you'll have to go through what, you'll have to navigate the, you know, the Indian Ocean for you to get, to Australia and New Zealand. And through, Malaysia is also in there. And, from what I see, 3-6 is, Papua New Guinea is also there, and a lot of, islands, on the, you know, on the, eastern side of Papua New Guinea, Australia, New Zealand. And, but Africa, Africa is a 50 plus state.
Yeah.
So, and in very close proximity. So that makes it more like navigating in terms of trade, which, I mean, I understand why the Africa, you know, Continental Free Trade Area guys were there. Yeah, are also there at this event.
Yeah.
Yeah, but because this, you know, this doesn't only does not only call for, you know, connected trade for mutual economic benefits for, you know, in any group of countries, like you can see the Commonwealth, but also the, Africa Continental Free Trade Area, you know, goes to show that, the Commonwealth and, you know, Commonwealth and Africa Free Trade Area, actually these are like two trading entities that, if they can strike a trading, a trading deal, can, have a lot of, economically mutual benefit, out of that deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Except, when it comes to the, you know, from the look of things, if you look at the Commonwealth's, own website, Southern Africa is, you know, Southern Africa, there are not a lot of, okay, how do I put this? There are very few countries that subscribe to the whole Commonwealth idea, because you have to understand that most of the countries that have, African countries, if I can just, you know, stick to Africa, African countries that are members of the Commonwealth, are former British colonies.
Yeah.
Yeah. That means a large chunk that was occupied by France and the Portuguese, that they were like, what Commonwealth? Which is why, I mean, I totally understand why I don't see Angola, but like you pointed out, it's curious to find Mozambique there, because the British did not colonize Mozambique, that was the Portuguese.
The same to also for, what's the one that I mentioned? The Gabon?
Gabon, yeah, through Gabon.
Was Spanish, Portuguese, French, because they now speak French, I think. Gabon. It's most the country of the footballer Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. As well as also there's another French one there, Cameroon. Cameroon was formerly a German colony, and it went over to French under French mandate. The downside of seeing these particular sort of like nuances is specifically, and this is now also where a critique comes in, Helmut.
Mm-hmm.
The Commonwealth is global.
Yeah.
But the AFCFTA is trying to empower regional, continental, localized trade between national countries. Now, the point I wanted to make earlier with the speaker from the Afrixim Bank, let me just pop up his name again, this gentleman. He noted the same particular thing, Helmut, that we have stressed numerous times before on our discussion, when we go into the AFCFTA platform. Has been one of the connecting the airspaces between African countries.
Connecting airspaces will require us to invest in defense, because one thing that you see is that one way that a lot of countries ensure that their airspace is safe for any type of flight, not just military but also commercial, is that they are not a bunch of guys running around in the middle of the forest with an RPG. So that means investment in defense and ensuring everyone that we're going to get in a trade agreement with, that it's safe for their plane to come and land.
But remember, when you and I did the analysis of the, what was that thing? The Yamoussoukro Declaration.
Mm-hmm.
That was back in 2023.
Yeah.
When we had the first instances of that discussion. The Yamoussoukro Declaration, Helmut, obviously came in the 1980s, before Namibia's independence.
Yeah.
And Minister, when he was still Minister of Works and Transport, former Minister Tomalwendo, what's the guy's name? How could I forget the minister's name, Helmut?
Minister of what?
Mutorva, yes, John Mutorva.
Uh-huh.
When Minister Mutorva went, it was Madagascar or Seychelles, one of the two island nations here in the Indian Ocean. Before that engagement that the Africa Aviation Authority hosted here in Windhoek, in collaboration with the NCAA, the local the other aviation authority of Namibia, the Civil Aviation Authority. They hosted it here in not far from our studio. And the lady from the Africa Aviation Authority said that your minister was there in 2022 and in 2023 because the same ministers of transport had to come and talk about this engagement, this founding document that is part of the AU's policy documents. And they all agreed that they have to try and implement what the Yamoussoukro Declaration tries to achieve. Now, what does the Yamoussoukro Declaration try to achieve, Hamoud? If your country, let's say your country on the African continent is too poor to have its own, and I use the word poor, meaning you don't have enough resources to allocate to start a national airline, to upgrade and upskill a airport facility. Remember, because it's not just about flying people. You need to have the facility.
Yeah, most cargo is mostly, infrastructure. Cargo is into shipping, not flying. It is going to be very expensive.
Yeah, so, and when it comes to aviation, it's about passenger transport most of the times. So you need to have the infrastructure, the garages and the service providers, and you must have the terminals in order to receive and to be able to send passengers off and receive them coming inwards. These particular talking points are crucial because many countries don't realize how much money you've got to invest in an airport only.
Yep.
Now, before that, we've got an ad break, guys.
To all Eagle FM listeners, do you want to stand a chance to win a voucher of $500 Namibian weekly? Answer this easy question. Please tell us, what are the three colors of the USAVE logo? Please SMS your answer to 081-200-4144 and tune in every Friday between 1:45 and 2:00 to find out if you are the lucky winner. The winner will be announced every Friday live on air between 1:45 and 2:00. Participate weekly to improve your chance. We'll save at USAVE.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features.
Welcome back. 29 minutes left to the hour of 6. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Home Run with Helmed and Dwight on Eagle FM.
So yeah, where I left off.
AfriExim.
Yeah. So the gentleman from AfriExim Bank, Mr. Yemi Kale, who's the managing director and group chief economist of the institution. Helmut, his opening speech starts, and it was the first panel discussion of yesterday's engagements. It was under the Navigating Global Trade Uncertainty and Commonwealth Resilience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kale, he opens up his speech by saying, it took me 16 hours to get to Windhoek from Cairo. Let that sink in, dear listeners. It took the man 16 hours to fly from Cairo to Windhoek. You're going to ask me, yeah, the continent is big. Well, if you've never been in an airplane, it's 5 hours from Windhoek to Ethiopia. To Addis Ababa. It's 5 hours. It's a 5-hour flight.
So, but that's a direct one.
That's a direct flight.
You are not having, you know, layovers.
Yeah, there was no layovers. From, with Ethiopian Airways or Airlines, from Windhoek to Addis Ababa, it's 5 hours. The issue at hand here is, if trade is going to happen in the Commonwealth discussion, and this is ultimately what these guys came here to try and explore, and they're still trying to explore it.
Yeah.
How can we trade with each other? How can we fast track things? Because they showed up with business delegations from their private sectors, each one of these countries. How can you try and fast track things? How can you try and speed up things? I mean, it's the same thing that NIPDB's CEO, Wanja, did in her speech yesterday. She literally presented Namibia's strengths. The markets that define Namibia's economic performance. The positives of investing in Namibia, which is state-of-the-art banking service, a state of world-class banking services, world-class infrastructure, transport infrastructure, and the ability to connect to many other markets if you try to, you know, if you use the transport corridor that Namibia promotes itself to be, specifically transport corridor to Zambia, to Botswana, to Zimbabwe, there's DRC as well, especially that perspective. Now, this is, we are doing something very well, us Namibia. But when you hear a sad story like the guy from Afreximbank, who had to waste 16 hours of his life just to get to Windhoek, and it should not be more than 5 hours that you have to fly from Cairo to Windhoek, that means there's an opportunity for a air company, a flight company.
We have had this discussion before. That raises the question of how many people are flying between Cairo, Egypt, and Windhoek, Namibia,
exactly,
every day.
Because where do you find most of the Egyptians going? They've got Europe just across the Mediterranean. Why would they fly southwards? Is there a tourism market for this Egyptian customer or tourist? No, we don't know.
That's a good question, though.
That's a very good. Yeah. We've got an Egyptian embassy here.
We do. We've got every day.
We've got bilateral relations. The discussion here is Namibia also needs to try and understand, you know, how can we advance the bilateral relations with the known African bilateral relations partners? Nigeria, Egypt, Algeria. Did you know we've got bilateral relations with Algeria?
Do you not know that?
Well, today you do, Helmut. Today you do.
African countries, obviously, the question of infrastructure is one that, that's not a secret. Especially not only when it comes to trade, but also travel in terms of cross-border travels, which is why, we are, you know, Namibia and Botswana, I think we are making a lot of headways in terms of making it, very flexible for our citizens to cross, for citizens of the two countries to cross in and out of each other's country. But still legally, you are putting in flexibility, you know, again, that's the exploitation of technology in terms of travel, making it very easy for someone to travel from one country to another, still legally. Now, the things that we are investing into as a continent. There's a snippet of Africa's overall investment not Africa's overall investment. Basically, Africa's overall investment in terms of foreign direct investment, non-Africans investing on the African continent, irrespective of what country they decide to invest into. I think it was Gabriel that put that on our Eagle FM WhatsApp group when he said that a large chunk of foreign investors that are coming to invest in Africa are investing in the extractive industry. Now, that's very painful. That means we are just, one scientific breakthrough away from I don't want to use Dutch case because, if, take for example, you know, if we export, you know, if we rely on uranium as our biggest export product and the largest source of, you know, source of our country's revenue, and an alternative to uranium is invented, we're screwed.
That's just it, Ahmed.
Yeah. No,
you already pointed it's that.
Yeah. You remember Kodak?
Namibia's actual revenue curse.
Yeah.
Is diamonds. Because, remember, we have to talk in the case of what the state makes.
Yeah.
And that's how we have been sold the narrative in Namibia. I mean, even the print media gets this wrong. The other print media people. Mm-hmm. They make it sound that the government's revenues mm-hmm. is your revenues. But you don't eat off the revenue. You don't live off the revenue. Yeah. There's nothing you can do with hearing about what the government has made through its receipts.
Mm-hmm.
Which is tax receipts, which is VAT receipts, which is border receipts, import receipts, and export receipts,
yeah.
and taxes on corporations and other stuff like that. Because this thing that I read to you earlier about the other journalist that stated on her WhatsApp status about,
oh, yeah, but I,
about the diamond
it's
revenue.
Selective, obviously. Yeah?
And I told her, you can't do anything with a diamond unless, which, because she's a woman.
Yeah.
Unless a boyfriend or a husband buys her a diamond ring, that's the only thing she can consume a diamond with.
Dude, when I think about diamonds, I'm thinking about industrial application, not will you marry me.
But still again, Helmut, to what extent does the industrial application transmit a benefit, a value mm-hmm. proposition, a true positive
yeah.
to you on the street? If it doesn't,
mm-hmm.
then why are people fixated about this diamond earnings, this discussion of Namdeb's particular importance in the Namibian economy?
Mm-hmm.
Because, Helmut, do you know where Namibia actually has a true gem?
Where's that?
Red meat. You sit with 2 million heads of cattle on the other side of the red line.
Mm-hmm.
Ne?
Yeah.
On the other side of the, there are farmers with 2 million head of cattle. You, yes, you, Helmut. You sit with an investment. It's walking around there in Divundu. It's
and
eating.
Well, it's eating, and let's be fair, some of it is being ran over by trucks. But
still, it's an investment.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it gets run over,
which is why we build a tannery.
Even when it gets run over by that truck,
mm-hmm.
you get reimbursed by the state for that inconvenience that you suffered there.
That looks kapana check. No. 20 minutes past, yeah, 20 minutes to the hour, 20 minutes to the hour of, yeah, 20 minutes to the hour of six. So now there's a one a gentleman, there's a one gentleman, I have his name here from, not AfriExim, from, Wamkele Mene. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the gentleman from, Africa Continental Free Trade Area.
Yeah.
Secretary General. Is the one that is the one that pointed out obviously strengths and weaknesses that the Commonwealth faces. And at this point, I'm telling you, look, if there is a discussion like this that takes place on an on an AU level, he can just use the same speech and everything that he said. The challenges that the Commonwealth countries are facing in terms of that are standing between them and trade, and their proper trade with each other, also applies to. Why there is why a lot of African countries don't trade with each other, with each other. One of them being infrastructure.
But it's the same thing that, what's her name? The trade secretary of the Commonwealth, Shirley Botchway. She said literally the same thing yesterday, Hamoud.
Yeah.
That you just now said about, what Mr. Wamkele said.
Yeah.
It's about, finding the pathway. Between these different zones across the world. Remember, it's 56 countries. And there are big ones and there are small ones in this neighborhood of the Commonwealth. The downside is you can clearly see that there is sort of like a division
mm-hmm.
between the big ones and the small ones. Singapore, which is one of probably the most advanced economies in the world.
Yeah.
Is light years ahead from the likes of India, the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, even South Africa, because Singapore itself has a very small surface area
to improve, to manage, to provide services for,
mm-hmm.
and ultimately to help achieve various other particular national developmental goals. You can't call Singapore a developed country anymore. You just cannot. You can't think of Singapore in that scenario. But when you come to, if you try to look for a Singaporean example on the African continent, people would say Rwanda is the Singapore of Africa.
Mm.
Not this, what's the other term that they try to call Rwanda? The Switzerland of Africa, or what? Or is this, because I consider Rwanda actually to be the Singapore of Africa.
Not Switzerland. Switzerland is where you, Switzerland is one of the most, if not the most expensive country to live in.
Yeah. But when you look at the policies that Rwanda has initiated and has achieved successes over in terms of upliftment in the economy of their locals, it's similar to the pathway that Singapore had to walk. I keep forgetting the Singaporean president of the 70s and 80s, the prime minister or the president, the guy that said, nah, we won't.
Lim Kuan Yew.
Yeah, because their goal was to remove the racial divide.
Yeah, they had to break out from Malaysia, remember?
Yeah. But they had to remove the racial divide because they are Chinese Singaporeans.
Yeah.
They are Indian Singaporeans. They are Malay Singaporeans. So you had Buddhist, Hindu and Muslim nationals in your country. If you look at the demographics at play, just on religion, which obviously is a melting pot. They also had European Singaporeans.
Yeah.
And it was about how do you actually tie everyone into the same national identity, which is the same thing that President Geingob tried to do with his, you remember his tagline of no person left behind and the Namibian house discussion.
Yeah.
Before that, guys,
kapena weparwe pena ombiga ivule pondando za Shoprite ela rakano jetu okukupa ondando dili pevi mipumbi wa igeto opunga esiku kege kapeka poke jimbalizo soka ontirgani right brand golden kodromira kontato na gerino senda omirango wino hoi kege osho oke jintano do sera we pungu wa topsco supermaze kodromira ngohamano no wino senda mirango wino we adike tindo kufuta ashivuli se pondando so Shoprite prize ziriko sigombali na gari gayuni nuvo oko ShopRite, a cookie.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back. 14 minutes left to the hour of 6. Where are you?
Yeah. So,
Hage, late.
The similarities in Hage's, the similarities in the messaging that President Hage tried to achieve is the same thing that Lim Kuan Yew tried to achieve, and he achieved it. They achieved it in Singapore because they said it was a long process.
Yep.
This was not an overnight process. Today, Helmut, Rwanda, the Singaporean examples in this discussion is Rwanda, Singapore, what's the other country's name? In the Pacific Island, a New Zealand scenario, New Zealand technically, because New Zealand only has agriculture. It only has agriculture and services. And Australia, which is the big brother just opposite the Tasman Sea, has got natural resources, uranium, energy.
Trucks the size of, trains.
Agriculture. they've got the Australian economy, Helmut, can run on one thing. They can run on one thing and there will still be enough for that Australian population to live off. So you've got these three examples. These three examples should be beacons of how do you try to develop strengths in each of these isolated zones of the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
But the idea of the Commonwealth is trying to connect outside of your continental engagements to a global network. Now, it looks enticing. Let me say that, Hamoud. It sounds enticing. It looks enticing. The downside is, do you have the capacity to trade in British pound? Do you have the capacity to export something in British pound? Because people are more inclined to technically convert, or these countries are more inclined to technically convert their trading, the monetary value of their trade into a US dollar value. Because they want US dollars more.
Okay, but aren't we trading with several European countries already?
Yes,
and that's in the international trading currency, that's the US dollar denomination.
Yes, they are. But we are also probably trading. We were probably also forced to use the euro. Because you said European.
Ouch.
There are four major global currencies. It's US, British pound sterling or pound sterling, euro, and yen. But the yen is sort of like working in relation with the dollar.
You know, the question I always ask myself when I look at currencies is that, because for a very long time I thought the strongest currency was the US dollar, until I found out it was at least about a year or two ago, it was the Kuwait dinar.
Mm.
But that's not something I've
heard. And the Kuwaiti dinar is followed by, I think, the Omani one, and then by the Qatari one. The
Middle East is something else.
And then the Saudi also have a very dangerous currency.
Yep.
That's there. So, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, but none of them is an international trading currency. So it's not based on how strong your currency is.
But if you really want a conducive setting, ad break, guys.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia, on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
So, you've got everything sorted for tomorrow?
Yeah, man. Meat spice, poikis ready, even got some playlists lined up, bro.
And the crew? They're all coming, right?
Now we, everyone's in. It's gonna be lekker.
Wait. What about the tassies?
Bruh,
you can't get it without tassim, bruh. It's like cabana without salsa, dog. Tassenberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is EagleFM.
Ipuranenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to dae njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Okone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamoili nawa. Ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu. Bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM VI.
Welcome back. We're still with Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM, and the ads are just popping up left, right, and center. But before we continue, one, we have to pay the bills. Speaking of paying the bills, we have a live read.
This is the Belvitcha University September Intake 2025. All programs are fully accredited by the NQA. Certificate in Health Sciences Foundation Level 4. This is a one-year full-time course available at all campuses. Certificate for Enrolled Nurse Midwife, Accoucheur, Level 6, this is a 2 years full-time course available in Windhoek, Nkurenkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, Katimamulilu, and Otapi. Diploma in Environmental Health Sciences, Level 6, this is a 2 years full-time course available in Windhoek, Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours, this is a 4 years full-time course available in Windhoek, Nkurenkuru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, and Katimamulilu. Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing, Level 8, this is a 1 year full-time course available in Windhoek, Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing, Level 8. This is a 1 year full-time course available in Windhoek. The application period is 1 June to 30 June 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Velvetia University, where everyone is an achiever.
Welcome back. I know.
Yeah.
Where everyone is an achiever. There's this time when, given that I read it so much, you know, it's a good thing I don't sleepwalk. Otherwise, my roommates would have heard Velvetia University, where everyone is an achiever. What the heck? But we have 7 minutes before we call it a day and hand over to a business and economic segment. So, trading is not trading is obviously what we want.
Yeah.
But now the way this whole ministerial Commonwealth business summit was held. Now after you pointed out that each and every most of these ministers from different countries came with a business representative, a private sector representatives from their respective countries. I have a proposal. Next time we have a business like that, we have a summit like that. Brilliant idea.
Mm.
Let the politicians sit and then the executives talk.
Yep.
Yeah. Because,
which is actually problematic, Amut.
In what way?
Because actually, you are supposed to channel your messaging through the politician. So the politician can talk to the other politician.
Mm-hmm.
Because the moment if two trade partners talk to each other,
uh-huh,
and they don't identify what laws, what local, other particular, let's call it tariff or barriers,
mm-hmm,
or trade or export import barriers, yeah, pop up, the politicians are supposed to know that. Their offices, their ministries.
So they'll just wake up and say, how the heck did this end up here?
Exactly. And then you've got one or other crazy investigative journalist here in Namibia going and writing out, how did we allow this particular product to be exported to Namibia, which is not safe for human consumption?
You see, that is exactly why I say, let the business people talk, and then the honorables just sit there observing protocol and watching them. Like, then they'll be like, oh, bah, 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 bah. Actually, that in our country will be hindered by this and this and this, yeah, policy. So you may want to have to change that to something else.
Or do you have something that is on par with a standards authority that is equal to the standards authority that SABC is in a Namibian context?
Yeah.
Because NSI, our standards authority,
mm-hmm,
bases their things off the SABS.
Yeah, the South African one, yeah.
Yeah. One of the easiest ways to do that.
Now, one thing, you see, okay. At the question of, when I looked at the number of member states that makes up the Commonwealth and the member state that makes up the AU, I started, that's one question I kept asking myself, like, okay, why can't we have this discussion on a continental level? It turns out we already have, which is why, again, like I pointed out earlier, which is why the Africa Continental Free Trade Area, has its representatives present. It actually has its representative present at this event.
Mm.
So we're looking at it as at least from an African level that you're looking at ramping up trade agreements. But then again, this comes down to just the part of this is going to take a while. This is going to take a while because, yeah, for one, infrastructure is needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Infrastructure is needed. And flying cargo is not cheap.
No, it never was.
Flying cargo is not cheap. If you look at how much it takes to maintain a C-5 Super Galaxy, one of the US military's biggest, cargo plane, that thing is freakishly expensive to maintain. For one, it has what, like 16 wheels? So, that's why, in commercial purposes, for commercial purposes, not for military purposes, shipping is the only one that makes, that's more economically, that makes sense economically. Yeah, because it takes a lot of it.
Mm.
It takes a lot of, it basically has shipping containers that you can just line up for a couple of hundred meters. Now, which is a brilliant move. Now when we look at, aviation, my God, Africa is very behind.
No, we are.
Shipbuilding, really behind.
Even just connecting our roads, Helmut, we are even behind in putting the thing on the ground.
Yeah. And then the security clusters now. Please, let's start from there, for the love of God. Please, the security clusters in our different countries, especially on the African continent, we have to really come together like on an AU level and figure out, just to ask a president, just point blank, dude, how much are you paying your police officers? Because they keep, extorting money from truck drivers.
It's not just that. I'm going to throw the Zimbabwe under the bus here. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Zimbabwe, but you know what? This is an anomaly I saw back in 2011. It might have changed. I know it's 15 years or 16 years ago. In 2011, Helmut, when I saw Vic Force for the first time and drove through Zimbabwe for the first time, they had a weird thing. They had two roadblocks between towns. One was a police roadblock for safety and to check stuff. The second one was a nature conservation roadblock. Nature conservation to ensure that you don't smuggle plant species and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
and animals. And the first one obviously was, police.
You're here legally.
Yeah, and to ensure that, things are being met. The downside was, at every one of those roadblocks, the bus service that I drove on,
mm-hmm.
we had to pay. At every single roadblock.
Paying for what?
We didn't ask. We didn't care. But payment was solicited. Or payment was done.
Huh. Tune in to the F&B segment every Monday morning from 7:45 a.m. live on Eagle FM for early morning dose of financial education and account protection. The F&B segment is proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia.
So,
okay, that's
when Namibians, and dear Namibians, even though I've said multiple times, try and see Africa by road or by land.
Yeah.
It's way beautiful than flying in there.
Yeah.
It's even cheaper.
Yeah.
It's even cheaper when you drive. The downside is some things will be culture shocks. Some things will be a culture shock.
No, you have no idea just how much on social media I have come across a lot of videos coming out of non-Namibian truck drivers. Just first of all, admiring just how well carpeted our roads are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just how they, how they drive through a roadblock. And the only thing that the police officer is asking for is your driver's license and all the documents that you are required for you to be driving that vehicle with that, with that cargo behind you. That's it. You hop in your car and you drive. And then one guy went on to actually ram for about 2 minutes. And, everyone knows that, when someone fires up TikTok, they have attention, TikTok users have an attention span of a fly. Because, it's usually for more like very, really short videos. We're talking seconds. This guy went on for like 2 minutes. That I think it was about a 3 or 4 minutes video. Because now, from last year, I think they started, allowing for the content creators to make like, about, I think the last time I checked, the maximum is 10 minutes videos. Went on to just point out that, some of our countries here in Africa need to look in their police.
Yep.
Yeah,
because Ahmed, it took me a discussion with a Zimbabwean in Namibia to realize that sometimes the police were siphoning off money from those payments that were done at those roadblocks
because they don't have regular monthly salaries. On.
I don't know. Jesus. I don't know, and it was the time that U.S. dollars were introduced in Zimbabwe in 2011. Ouch. So not 2011, sorry, 2010. I went to Zambia and Zimbabwe in 2010. So when you look at things like that, when you hear stories like that, when you experience or interact with things like that, you know, some things will be a major culture shock. And you can see how these particular shock variables are literally the barriers to better trade between countries. Because if Namibia hears, if Namibian ministers and the likes hear how Namibians are treated in other African countries, they'll go like, hey, listen, guys, you know those travel advisories they put up from the US and from UK for their nationals to other countries? Namibia will start doing things like that for the other African countries to say, watch out, you might be robbed here by authorities.
This is why I started with, if we are going to, you know, this is why I gave a reference to more like, investing in defense to make sure that our, our airspace, not as a country, but as a continent, is safe for commercial airlines. It's safe, but it's not as, there are some parts, for a lot of people that have, that likes to look at air traffic globally, they saw that, ever since the 13th, yeah, from the 13th, you know, from the 13th of this month when Israel woke up, one morning decided to go trigger happy on Iran.
Yeah.
There's a lot, and now you see that that airspace of Iran is very void of any air traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what happens in places that are, you know, that are mired in conflicts. I know that the standard cruising altitude is about, 10 kilometers for commercial airlines.
Yeah.
Yeah, what you don't want, I don't even know the range of an SMRS, and but RPG, I don't think that's, unless you're flying one of these, private, Cessna type of planes.
Mm.
But again, security must be ensured. If I'm going to trade with someone on an African, from a different African country, what I want to make sure, I'm looking at the security of my products. How safe are they?
Mm.
I also want to look at how much am I spending? How much am I how much am I paying at the border for for what?
Mm.
Export, import levies of, of different countries.
Mm.
And if there are any, if there are any payments that they have any type of payments or levies that different countries have, I want to factor it in there. I don't want to run into some guy with a private roadblock. And then he's asking me money. Now I have to go like, okay, now it's not that I don't want to give you the money, but what am I putting it, on my expenses S?
But that's just the thing, Helmut. Now you go in as a Namibian. You have been to South Africa.
Yeah.
You've driven on South African roads. You don't see this thing. You only find tolling stations and booths.
Yeah, those are expected expenses because you know when you are going there that you are going to find it, they have tolls.
Yeah, because also at the border post with South Africa,
yeah,
the South African immigration tells you, expect these particular things so you can get an induction beforehand.
Yeah.
Né? And also because road users between Namibia and South Africa, there are similarities.
Yeah.
We drive on the same sides. We have the same cars. We understand the same road rules. So everything is, it's standardized.
Yeah.
It's easy for us. And the same too for Botswanans.
Yeah.
The moment you step into zones like Zambia and Zimbabwe, you don't know what to expect. You really don't know what to expect.
Yeah, when you find yourself in Angola now, your incoming traffic is your outgoing traffic is like, now let's go.
There's the horror story of the guy that I know. It's my eldest brother's friend actually, but I also know the guy. I also interviewed him here during COVID. He's a Swede. Who married a Namibian singer, a Namibian artist, and they live in Sweden. But before he married his wife, he had another Namibian girlfriend before he met her. And
Namibian fever.
But the previous girlfriend, she was an Angolan Namibian. So she had family in Angola, but she was living and studying in Namibia.
Yeah.
And he asked her, can I go see your country? Because he thought, driving through Namibia is as friendly as, should also be the same thing of driving to Angola. Hamoud, it's only the Angolans that can drive to Namibia and drive back unsolicited, unaccosted, what's the other thing? Unharassed. You as a Namibian, try driving now to Angola. Go to that Angolan border post with your car.
As soon as they find out you don't speak English, all of a sudden.
The nightmare of what happened to that guy. Yeah. The nightmare of what happened, that was in 2012, 2013, to that guy. They impounded his car. because they were playing delay tactics for no reason. There was nothing wrong. His girlfriend kept telling him because she could understand the Portuguese.
Yeah.
These guys are trying to find a fault for everything. They don't want to let them through to reach, you know, obviously the destination. Their holiday was spoiled because of a bunch of government officials on the Angolan side that spoiled everything for them. Now you get to understand also why the tourism sector can't, the Namibian tourism sector can't extend over into Angola. Because we don't know the regulations, the law and order, safety of a Namibian investor in Angola. But we can promise an Angolan investor all the safety automatically in Namibia. That's one of the things. Now, that's literally the kind of treatment that hampers this cross-border trade, even the ACFTA discussion on the African continent, because we don't know what the other Africans, how they will treat a Namibian investor, or a Namibian tourist. And a tourist is an investor, ne?
Yeah.
A tourist is a customer.
They're spending money.
Which is an investor. So, we don't know how you get treated. It won't be long, Helmut.
Running into problems into a country. That's normal. You're going to, that happens everywhere. But the thing is, I want the right authority. Yeah. Take, for example, if I'm just visiting Namibia and I get mugged, I can go to the police station and then file a case and then, you know, an investigation. And this have happened here, like, this happens in Namibia, like, I've read of a few, one or two stories of, of tourists getting robbed. Mm. And, you know, there's a whole police investigation and stuff. Mm. So now that obviously shows that, if I travel to that country and this happens to me, there's a system in place. But if the system is the one that's doing the robbing, I'll be like, okay, right. Who do I report to?
Exactly. Now, just like you and I have done the EITI discussion.
Yeah, the transparency open contracting discussion.
Open contracting, which was the second part of that discussion. And the transparency and anti-corruption that Namibia is trying to champion as a nation, which includes both private sector and public sector.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know what is the same thing happening in Angola?
No, in 2023, the United Nations, I think it was sponsored by the United Nations, were SADC representatives, leaders from different SADC countries met in Luanda, Angola last year to talk about how to combat corruption in the region.
Yeah.
Something I thought, you know, always compared to mosquitoes coming together to discuss the cure for malaria. But all they had to do was...
Don't you think it should have been a bloodsuckers conference rather?
look, I think that would have been the shortest conference. All they had to say was, right, welcome to the conference. The way to bring an end to corruption is we all stop stealing. Problem solved. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
But they had to beat around the bush, and of course they had... Now, IPPR has a very beautiful report on this. They reached a conclusion that one way of, is similar to that they came up with a more like... They listed five objectives of how to do that. And objective number two is once something that you see that is more like, sounds a little bit like the same thing that you see, the same idea that's being used by, Transparency International as a, corruption fighting mechanism,
yeah.
Which is educate the people more so they can ask the right question.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Which technically what you and I are doing, but we're not at a bloodsuckers conference, don't
we? No, we didn't. How I wish, as you can imagine. All you can eat buffet.
I think all of them would have said, you know what? It's all that is there is, you zoom a little much and, we'll go have our daily sustenance.
You and I in a conference like that, I don't think we're coming back.
On that note, guys, enjoy the rest of your evening. Stay tuned for David.
Business and economics.
There is no Goliath.
Oh, yeah. There is no Goliath.
There is no Goliath. However,
just a David.
He is going to give you a Goliath-esque discussion.
Yeah.
Right, David? You are going to do that, ne?
Don't even know what he said.
Yeah.
It's
all right.
It's going to be big. That's all.
Yeah.
Let's sound like Donald Trump. It's going to be big.
Then
we don't know, but it's going
to
be big.
Then turned out to be tariffs.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.